Stanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in, week five, where week five brings you the opportunity to take Vanderbilt minus 14 and a half, who has one win, an 0-4 Florida State team, minus 4.5, and of course, winless Ohio, minus 9.5 in the MAC. What world are we in, Bear? They're still not believers in some of these teams. I will say, and I think this is a theme that might carry on through the whole pod, all those teams that are horrendous are at home. Do you buy the value of home now we have home crowds back in 2021?
No, because it leads me to my one of my would you rathers here. Would you rather take Minnesota plus 2.5 fresh off of a 31 point being a 31 point favorite and losing to Bowling Green, or would you rather take Troy plus 7, fresh off of losing as a 24-point favorite to UL Monroe? Or would you rather attend UConn at Vanderbilt or Ohio at Akron?
Attend,
a lot of choices there.
Attend UConn Vanderbilt because it's in Nashville. That's it. I don't have any. No traffic going in and out of the game. I'm in a big city. I got options to watch other games around that 7:30 kick in Nashville. I believe that's Eastern. It's pretty sick though that you brought up a lot of the games that I have circled. I want to talk about. I will say, you talk about a roller coaster of emotions last week. I believe I gave up 9 picks on this pod last week. Started great. We were both on Syracuse Friday night, and then being at kids soccer games and seeing Minnesota go for it on their own 20-yard line as a 31-point favorite will make me never believe in rowing the boat again. So then the whole day gets flooded, and I waited because I knew it was going to happen. And I waited, I think, until the Roadrunners pulled off the upset to go on the old bird and check out what people were saying. And of course, it was just comments about Minnesota. So to everyone that wanted to do that, that's great. But we went 7-2 last week on the pod. We'll take it. Moving on. There are still some teams, when you look at the calendar, that are going on the road for the first time to play true road games in over 2 years. And at the top of the list is everybody's favorite story so far, Arkansas. We also have Ole Miss, and we also have Oklahoma. It's a scenario where every team has their own. Ole Miss is circling this game. They've been saying, Lane said he's been circling this game. I'm sure Nick Saban had this game circled after they walked off the field last year, given up how many points they gave. But when you look at those three, I feel like I know what I'm getting best out of those three with Arkansas. How about you?
In terms of the teams traveling on the road?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you do know what you're getting the most out of. I think they have the two best wins out of anybody, and they do have that neutral site win over an A&M, and you do kind of know the DNA and the makeup of those teams. Where with Ole Miss, we think their defense is improved. They've shown, I think, that they are, but we just don't know. With Oklahoma, I have no idea. The offense is a mess. The defense has played well, but West Virginia should have beat them last week. That procedure penalty was a killer.
Ugh.
And I still don't know why Green didn't play more in the second half. And now you're going to Kansas State, a team coming off of a loss where they look terrible in the second half, but they beaten them the last couple of times they played as 20 plus point dogs. And I'll be curious to see if they're able to run the ball and if they're able to kind of do the things up front. Look, Oklahoma's offensive line has problems. I think Spencer Rattler hasn't been good. It's just bizarre that they don't even try and like establish the run anymore. They used to have backs where you knew you were going to be able to get a good mixer. They're such a pass heavy team right now. I don't know if that'll work against Kansas State this week. We'll see. But I agree with you. Of those three, the team I know the most about is Arkansas. But at the same time, as it applies to Arkansas at Ole Miss, what you were referencing before was just be careful. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, we are still taking a team going on the road in a true road game for the first time this year. And, oh, by the way, they're playing the two best teams in college football. That's my PG-13 warning for taking the underdogs plus the points in these two games.
That's what I want to say, because what I know I'm getting is Arkansas. Like, when you look at the roster, you look at the super seniors on defense. I mean, they got some serious guys on that defense that have played a lot of football. I believe there's a couple that have played for three head coaches in Fayetteville. So I think I know what I'm getting best out of Arkansas in those three aspects. But I think if I had to take any one of those three against the spread, and it pains me to say it, but it might be Oklahoma because of who they're playing. I think Kansas State, you know, hit their max. I know they came back and sort of made it a game. Oklahoma State played a game for the second straight week without scoring and still winning and still covering.
How do you do that? You don't score in the second half and you win and cover both games.
It's crazy. I feel like Kansas State is maxed out. Howard got hurt. He was coming in and out. It's like the old days where quarterbacks coming in and quarterbacks coming out with Kansas State. I still can't give double digits on the road in a conference game. We know how Oklahoma struggled against Kansas State, and I think that has a lot to do with up front. Arkansas, you are going on the road. It is, you know, I think I saw Kirby out there saying, please, all no offense to our friends at game day, but get inside the stadium, which I think you guys will be in the stadium, right?
We'll be inside for the last hour of the game. So yeah, we're good.
How does now Herbie will be at the desk and then go up to the booth? All right.
Yeah. He'll be on the set for the show. And
how's that entourage getting him up the stairs into the elevator?
Oh, mess. Train. Yeah. Mess. Total mess. 18 security people pointing in different directions, and D Brown holding his bag.
And then you just put the hat on like the end of Thomas Crown Affair and just find your way right over to the bus and get comfortable for the noon.
I mark my tracks from when we go into the stadium. Okay, the game truck's over there. Okay, they'll go that way, and I'll just kind of make my way on in nice and leisurely. This is how I get back to the truck.
Very good. Interesting. Weeknight games, your Hurricanes, given five. We know what Virginia's done the last couple of weeks and just getting demolished on the defensive side. I don't think I want to give five. If anything, I would look at the over-under and maybe lean the over in that game. Miami's coming basically off a week off against the old Blue Devils from hard-hitting New Britain, Connecticut. What did that end up, 69-0? I think it was.
I missed. I stopped.
Stopped. I think counting. It was 50 something that half. Miami. Plenty has been made since you guys dove in on game day. The mindset. Do you expect a good effort out of Miami Thursday?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's been an effort. Maybe an execution deal, and maybe a talent deal at certain positions. An execution deal. Like nothing that was said. I mean, should really be like breaking news for anybody. People that have followed Miami's program for a while, it was just kind of like the quiet part was said out loud. If they inside the athletic department wanted to take exception to some of that and come out and say, hey, here's what we're doing, it's not true. Good. You should have done it sooner, because the fans have been saying that stuff for the last couple of years. People always, oh, you should have said this on TV. When, as you know, you can't just like, oh, give me another 4 minutes to go to talk about the season and stuff. You got producers in your ear. Like what I said on Twitter the other day is still true. As bad as everything has been, as terrible as they've been with drop passes and poor tackling, the ACC record still reads 0-0.
Yeah,
and the ACC is as open as it's been for 10 years. You haven't played any games in North Carolina now. It looks potentially winnable. I think you get Virginia Tech at home. They could still reach the ACC championship game. And if they want to use what Kirk and I brought up on Saturday as kind of a motivational point to get them going, good. We're happy to serve that up. But, I mean, nothing was said out of wanting anybody fired or, like, hating Miami. It was the people that were telling me the stuff about the football team or the basketball team. It's not like like gocanes.com/football message board. It's people that I've known for 30 years who were there when with me when Sam Jankovic was there, and they had everything in order. So we weren't just throwing message board innuendo out there. But by the way, you said the over. What's interesting here is that the last three games between these two teams, 33, 26, and 29 combined points in those three games. So they've been defensive type of games, but I don't see that this year at all. Virginia's defense is awful. I think Brennan Armstrong will have a ton of success as well against Miami. The curious thing with Miami is I wonder what way they go in terms of who they play. As much as it kills me to say it because I respect the hell out of the kid for what he's been through and coming back and the injuries he's had, Derek King just doesn't look like the same player.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Like, I wonder if they kind of play Van Dyke and some of the younger players to kind of get them experience for next year, knowing that they have the support and the backing of the administration. At the same time, if you got a chance for a GACC title game with him, who knows? So it's a weird situation I think they have now in terms of giving up the playing time. If you had to make one bet on someone to win the ACC championship, who would it be? So I've struggled with this. Every time I think I'm going to say one team, I say, no, really? And then I see someone else and like, really? No, it can't be them. So what do you think?
It's a great question. Plenty of people have chimed in this week about how they love Boston College, you know, this week, you know, catching all those points at Clemson. I think I still would have to lean Clemson. I still think they have smart enough heads to figure out how to become successful on offense. Watching that last week, there's guys open. Uiagalelei is just not executing. You combine that with the inability to run the football, and it's not great. And now you look at the injuries on the defensive line, where the two best defensive tackles are out. Skalski got dinged up again, who was playing, I believe I saw, in his 60th game. That is insane when you think about how many games he's played and you wonder how
Danny Ford. Danny Ford is probably really proud after signing him way back when and seeing that he's still hanging around.
And it's not saying much to win that conference. I think I would still have to, just knowing the road they have, I love what Wake Forest is about. I think they're in the old isn't this the Wakey Leaks game? Louisville this week,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is. Back at Grove Stadium.
Louisville, a little
which is what I
there.
Always call it.
Yes.
Wake Forest is the team I want to see win the ACC.
Yes.
If it can't be,
I want to see Boston College win it because that would give me an absolute winner on our season win total. But I think the most capable when you look at it.
If it can't be my alma mater, I want it to be Wake Forest.
Okay. All right. I can roll with you on that one. We also, another Friday night action in the Big Ten. Snake Pit will be rocking.
What's the agenda that you and the tall man have for Friday? I know you're going.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there bright and early. We did a pod Monday night. Travis did a great job getting that out Tuesday morning. There was talks about the gates weren't going to open until 4 o'clock because Maryland students have to go to class on Friday. No one goes to class on Friday. We all know about the Beltway traffic issues and how it backs right on the campus here. So they have moved the gates up to 3 o'clock. I will be leaving my house around 2:30 to get on campus, and we will be taking it all in. Could be a little nip in the air for an 8
really?
O'clock kick. Yeah, down maybe around 48, 49 degrees, which plays right into Iowa's favor. But that line stinks. I still think – I mean, Iowa is one of a kind. I'll just say that. I mean, last week against Colorado State, they come out sluggish. Get the turnover to start the second half, boom, get the lead, and then they suffocate you, and that's what happens. They've lived off of getting takeaways. We saw that on the road in Ames. So when you look at the other side, and you look at Maryland, and you look at Leah, he's been phenomenal. 76% of his passes. I do think Maryland has the goods to frustrate Iowa, and what you need in that – you know, in that side zone game with the jet sweeps and the outside zone and get misdirection going and get some naked bootlegs. I've said it all year. They have NFL guys at the skill positions. Now, can you execute it against that methodical Iowa defense? That's another thing. You know the Iowa defense is going to travel. Stay away from me. I'm really fired up to see the game. I get to watch the best center in the land in Lindenberg up front on the sidelines, which I'm fired up for. I can't wait. But it's just stay away. The 3.5, it was 4, I believe, it opened. So if Maryland plays well, they can win this thing. There's no doubt in my mind they can. If they can, this is a big spot. A couple of years back, same scenario. Undefeated Penn State came in. I believe it ended 59-0. It was 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. Now, I will say this Iowa team doesn't have that Penn State firepower.
No. No, they do not.
But does Maryland have the patience offensively? And that's the kicker in that game. But it should be a good one to watch for sure.
I would lean towards taking the points, but there's clearly one intangible here that is keeping me from doing it, and that's the black cloud that will be in attendance as well. And you know, I think you know who we're talking about. This individual also was at the West Virginia game and left before the Terps wound up taking the lead and pulling away in the second half. So the person was not present in the stands for the win. They had to leave and go to an event that night. And this person will be back this Friday. So that does concern me because this person is the original mush. But at the same time, while Iowa's defense has been great, and I think you certainly have to give them credit for what they've done, but you got to look at who they play. They have played teams that are 92nd, 86th, 62nd, and 42nd in total offense. And Kent State is the team that's 42nd. And those numbers are bolstered by the fact that they played VMI. This is clearly a dynamic Maryland offense, one that I think is going to give Iowa problems. And if they do, I wonder if they will be able to rely on Petrus's arm to try and go score for score with Maryland. So I would lean towards taking the points, but I ultimately would be with you. This is that one that I would make a big play on, but I know people are going to want to play it on Friday night for sure. So I'd lean towards maybe you just play Maryland plus on the money line and you do it that way. Because it could be also one of those Maryland wins outright or gets the doors blown off.
I think it would really benefit Iowa if they started fast and had a lead early in this game.
Yeah.
Which gets us to your game. Noon kickoff in Athens. We touched on it. Arkansas plus 18.5. 48.5 is the over-under against Georgia. And, you know, you mentioned it. First true road game for the Razorbacks. It's been awesome. They play. I mean, Pittman's just said all along, I want my teams to have more effort. And you watch the tape, and that's all you see. You just see that team playing their butts off week in and week out. To me, it's about the Georgia offense. I've seen it against lower competition. If they're going to cover this number, they got to score. Do you believe in the Georgia offense with JT Daniels?
I do. And not only JT Daniels, but here's a would you rather Tommy Tremble or Brock Bowers?
Oh man, it is. I gotta go with my man Tremble. Now that they just got rid of the other tight end in Carolina, Darnold. You saw him get a jet sweep for a touchdown. He had a big third down catch in that Thursday night game. Plus, he's rocking the 82 now in the NFL level. Tommy Tremble is like a god to me, man. I love that kid. I'm so happy for him in that Carolina squad. I jumped on the bandwagon with the additions to the roster, knowing the guys on that coaching staff. I'm really rooting for that team. So Tommy Tremble is at the highest of all players for me right now in the sport at both levels. But Bowers is pretty darn impressive. True freshman, Bear.
True freshman, first play of the game, they're going to throw it to the Clemson game. First play of the game, there you go, true freshman. We're good.
Welcome in.
And the thing is, they're probably going to get Washington back this week, too. What do you do then? I mean, I'm sure there'll be some interesting some formations when you get him, line him up and stretch him out or something. Be interesting. Mm.
And just on the other side with Arkansas, like, they've benefited the most. You mentioned the two wins, but they have absolutely jump-started those games, getting the big play against A&M with the 85-yard touchdown pass, and then, you know, doing their thing against Texas and getting the turnovers early and jumping on them and making them play their style. I do think the Arkansas defense, you know, does travel. 18.5 is a lot, but we know what the Georgia defense is capable of. I do think they can, you know, present plenty of problems. It's a stay away for me. I hate to say it, but it's a stay away for me. I really just want to see it because I want to see Arkansas in this environment.
It is for me as well. This is an example of one of those games. It's on the board. Should be a great game. Watch it. Learn a lot about both teams. But I don't have a feel for this. Just to be contrarian, I would lay the points here.
Okay.
And lay the points in Tuscaloosa as well. But it's nothing that I have a real super strong feel with, especially here in Athens, because the way is Georgia going to want to embarrass Pittman as well? I don't think they're going to want to embarrass him. So like I can see Arkansas maybe potentially getting a backdoor if need be, but I don't have a super strong feel on this game other than throwing Georgia in a money line parlay at a big number to try and just do that.
All right.
Sorry. I know that's not terrific analysis, but
no, we'll get to it because
it's something that I feel great about.
There's also a noon game that I do like in a pick this week that'll be official for me in the column on the pod. And it's a line that plenty of people have checked into that says it's their stinkiest line of the week. It's Wisconsin. They're -1 at home in Madison against undefeated Michigan.
I love this game.
43.5 is your total. I'm going to go with the Badgers. I know it's been ugly. We look at the turnovers. Wisconsin, 9 this year. Michigan, 0. But when I look into this, Bear, Wisconsin gave up 9 yards rushing to Notre Dame last week. 9, okay? They're averaging giving up 23 rush yards a game. What does Michigan want to do? Run the ball. Last week, they only ran for 112 against Rutgers. And that includes only getting 2 first downs in the second half. I think Wisconsin rallies the troops. I think they get a good effort. I think Mertz is this is it. If you can't do it in this scenario, then it's going to be a long one. I do believe in Chris getting that team ready to go. I will take Wisconsin -1.
I'm laying it as well. I love Wisconsin in this game. I'm not sure what happened at halftime last week in Michigan. It was 20-3. It looked like it was on its way to 41-10 or 41-17. Yeah. And whatever Greg Schiano and his staff did, whatever adjustments they may have made, they completely shut down Michigan in the second half. What did Michigan have? 43 yards, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was. McNamara was 1 of 5 for 7 yards. Is that the book? Is it now, okay, completely sell out for the run, because without Ronnie Bell, McNamara can't beat us. And if that's the case, you're going against a team that has allowed 75 rushing yards all year long.
Mm-hmm.
They're at home. It's a desperate team. I know Mertz has been terrible turning the ball over. It will. But the only team in the country that's allowed fewer defensive touchdowns, or offensive touchdowns, rather, I should say, than Wisconsin is Georgia.
Yeah.
They had 6 sacks last week. They dominated that Notre Dame offensive line. They didn't do anything offensively. The three non-offensive scores, just a complete awful beat for anybody, by the way, who listened to us and had the under in that game as well. But I am with you. I think this is like my Lee Corso line, like urgency, redemption, Wisconsin, home. Badgers win by a field goal.
I think they win
by more than a field goal, but I like
it. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, but I have to do it there with knowing what's at stake. Also, you know, for Wisconsin looking ahead, what is it? It's only 1 Big Ten loss, right? Out of these, right. Yeah, they 2 out of conference.
Yeah, it's the Penn State loss.
And if Michigan's going to win, I think it's going to be because of a unit that I really don't think has been tested, and that's their defense. Look at the offensives they have faced. When you think about Washington, you think about Rutgers. You know, it's teams. Listen, I don't have anything against them. I just think the numbers, and there's a game coming up where I have, you know, teams that have played total opposite kinds of competition that we'll get to, which is a reason I like one side. Make me a believer, Michigan. That's what it is. And I trust Wisconsin in this spot, even though it's been not pretty. I know Michigan fans will have a ton of fun with that one.
By the way, I'm looking at I just did a little thing here. getting back to that Arkansas-Georgia game real fast, because when you were talking about the game, and I was looking like the totals, something popped in my mind about like something about Kirby versus ranked teams and games going under. Uh-huh. If you go back since January 1, 2019, Georgia, 11 games versus ranked teams, either at home or in a neutral site, meaning a bowl game or a conference championship game, 11 games, nine of them went over, went under. Nine unders in 11 games. So the tendency is, and again, for Georgia versus a ranked opponent, lower scoring. That includes they've had games that have gone under, by the way, with totals of 45, 43 and a half, 43 and a half, and 47. So if you're worried that 48 might be too low of a total to go under, maybe reassess that.
Other noon early kickoffs, Tennessee, Missouri.
I thought this line stunk as well. It stunk in a way, in a way that would lead me to play in Tennessee. Because Missouri's rush defense is awful.
Brutal.
And that's like one thing that Tennessee can do.
Yeah.
And if Hooker plays, I think I will like Tennessee in this game. Milton, just get him off the field. He shouldn't be. Hooker is the guy. I think he gives them the best opportunity to win. I know Josh Heupel goes back to Columbia and whatever, that's fine. And I know it's a little hard backing a Tennessee team that, if you look at how they've done recently as an underdog, going back to the start of last year, 0-7, losing by an average of 19 points a game. That's hard. They have been a very bad underdog when they've been expected to lose. They lose, but what I've seen from Missouri's defense so far and their inability to stop the run, it would lean me to play in Tennessee here.
Okay. Pitt, Georgia Tech. I don't really have any trust in those teams
either. I'm so mad at Caprese. How did Caprese lose to Northern Illinois?
I don't
know. That is going to torpedo my Northern Illinois win total right there. They beat North Carolina, but they can't beat Northern Illinois. Perfect. Okay, I'm sorry.
404. 404. It's about the brand.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned rowing the boat, going on the road to West Lafayette. Toledo, UMass also at noon. How much does Coach P at TCU love the situation he's in, coming in off a loss, getting his Texas Longhorns in? I can't imagine how fired up he is loving this. Texas minus five, 65 and a half. You can have that game. I'll be watching it, but I mean, because if there's ever a chance to start to, you know, start knocking some pins down, it's knocking down this TCU pin,
yep.
But it's going to be a lot harder than you think. And you could say what you want and go back and look at them scoring 70 last week. They're going to get all they want from TCU here, I feel like.
Oh, they are. And I brought up, we talked about Oklahoma before, and we talked about Kansas State. And I threw it out there after the Oklahoma game on Saturday night. And I was like half kidding, kind of maybe, but is Texas the best team in the Big 12? I mean, I know they lost to Arkansas, but they look like you watch them play, especially on offense. And this isn't like knee jerk reaction. Oh, they beat the crap out of a terrible Texas Tech team.
No,
I don't know.
I mean, who's not a contender in the Big 12 when you look at it?
Kansas.
They're better.
They are better. But I still think they're a little underneath that contender line.
Yeah. I, because of the defense, I'd still, and knowing that's Lincoln still calling the plays, I still have to go Oklahoma. I know it's not an exciting answer.
I wonder what that number's going to be next week.
Well, I'm sure a lot has to do with this week.
Yeah.
And seeing what we're getting.
That's why I'm curious. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Two teams that have losable games this week.
No doubt.
TCU won and covered six of the last seven, including both times when they were an underdog. And if you go back last 10 games for Texas the week prior to Oklahoma, just five and five, ooh, 2-8 against the number.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's plenty of people that looked at the slate this week, saw and loved Texas, And there's plenty of people that love TCU and the situation they're getting with Coach B. So.
And Lasseter and John Murray and Chris Andrews and Vinny Amelayulo and all those guys, that's what they love. That's what they want.
No doubt. 2:30 Eastern, your Cincinnati Bearcats are a favorite in South Bend against the Irish, fresh off a win in Chicago against Wisconsin, over under 50.5. I have this game circled. It is a pick for me. Ooh. And there is no going against my Irish. My Irish at home as a dog under Brian Kelly, 5-2 against the spread, also straight up. To me, this is about, we'll get to the Cincinnati coaching staff and all that in a second, but I just can't get that effort from Cincinnati out of my head at Indiana, because they weren't impressed. I know they won by 14. And listen, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. They got to win these two games, whatever, by all means. But I'm just saying, from there, like, I was just expecting something different. I was expecting more polish. And listen, it was a tough environment. Indiana, that place was rocking that day. I'm not arguing that fact at all. But then when you factor in the week off, and now more onus on them, seeing how they are favored and there is more expectations, I just didn't like what I saw from them on the road in Indiana. And when you look at Notre Dame, say what you want about that defense against Florida State, it's gotten better and better. You can say what you want about the competition it's faced, but there was plenty of capable athletes on the offensives that they were going against. So I talked about Ritter preseason for the Heisman. This is a spot where he has to show it. I just don't think he does. I think Notre Dame secondary is starting to play a lot better. You saw that with the linebacking core that got some, pick sixes to shut that game down. Ritter's completing 65% of his passes. He's got a 7-2 touchdown interception rate. I don't think they can create enough consistency offensively against Freeman. And that's where I'll say this. There's going to be plenty of talk about who's on what coaching staff, on what, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's Notre Dame, the previous history of the Notre Dame guys' staff with Cincinnati. I will say this. If there's a reason Freeman could show his true colors, it's this week, because no other person knows him better, knows Ritter better than Freeman, watching him every day in practice and going against him the past whatever amount of years he's been there. So I like the idea of Notre Dame being an underdog. I like the improvements they've shown. I know the offensive line has not been good, but they kept playing. They bring in a backup quarterback. And here's the other deal. I'm going in this, we got to submit these on Wednesday. This is where a scenario I get stuck. I'm going in with the assumption that Cone's going to play. And if he doesn't play, then I'm on the hook for Notre Dame, with a third string quarterback. I get it. It's part of the deal that we have given picks on Wednesday. But I'm expecting Cone to play, and I'm going to take Notre Dame. I think they win the game on the field.
I hate this game for the exact reasons that you brought. I have zero faith, trust, confidence in the Notre Dame offensive line, especially with the quarterback who's not going to be 100%. And on the other side, the Cincinnati offense and how they looked against Indiana. Indiana should have put that game away, should have put it to bed in the first half, but they completely imploded and did Indiana things, and Cincinnati took advantage and wound up winning the game. I also wonder, it's a lot of pressure on Cincinnati in this game. They've been hearing about beat Indiana, beat Notre Dame, and you got a playoff possibility. So we'll see how they approach. I mean, they were favored in Indiana, got a cover, probably shouldn't have. Favorite at Notre Dame, and we'll see what happens. You mentioned Notre Dame. Like I said, each of the last five times they've been a home dog, they've won outright.
Yeah.
First time since 2010 that they've been a home underdog against a non-Power 5 team. And in 2010, they beat Utah 28-3 when the Utes were still in the Mountain West. So we'll see what happens. All the intertwining on the coaching staff. It's a fascinating story.
It is.
Fascinating game to watch. And I want no part of betting it.
If Cincinnati wins, are they the best group of five?
They have a case. I don't know if either one of their wins is still better than Fresno going to the Rose Bowl and beating UCLA, but
really,
do you think Notre Dame is better than UCLA? I guess that's what it boils down to.
I think this win would be better than Fresno going to the Rose Bowl, UCLA, because when I look at the long run, and this might come up later with UCLA, They got to go. I mean, people could say what they want about the Pac-12. UCLA's Pac-12 schedule is brutal. Brutal.
Look at Stanford. Look at Stanford. Oh. They have to play UCLA last week and take a beating from that running game. Now they got to turn around and face Oregon a week later.
We'll get to that game in a second. There's also a 2:30 Eastern game I have circled. Your Eastern Michigan squad on the road, catching 2.5 from Northern Illinois, over under 60.5. This is what I got. I can't trust NIU. Both teams have been in absolutely chaotic games so far this year. Listen to this. Both teams give up over 400 yards, and both teams average going for over 370 yards. I think Coach Creighton and the Granite travel and win the game against Northern Illinois. I've got some action here. I'm going Eastern Michigan plus the 2.5 against your Northern Illinois squad.
Yeah, right. My Huskies. Exactly. My Huskies with an IE. Yeah, I'll be rooting for Eastern Michigan, that's for sure.
Okay.
But at least the good thing is maybe that Bowling Green game is not an automatic win for NIU I assumed. So
out to BG. Another big dog this week against Kent State, catching 16.5.
I can see myself being on Eastern Michigan this week.
Okay.
I can get on board with that.
You can give me some good numbers for them as a dog in conference play. I know that. You got those on the back of your hand, I believe, when you're traveling around. We look at the 330s. Florida's at 6 o'clock on the road in Lexington, given 8. I have this question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of people that stayed up saw Oregon struggle with Arizona, and it caused me to stay up till 2:30 in the morning. People are going to pick it apart. They are ranked number 3 in the country, and I just thought there was a lot going on there. I don't know how healthy the quarterback is. He looked, he didn't look right. And Arizona, quarterback running all over the place, causing problems. And listen, there's a no lose situation for Arizona. Credit to them for showing up in Eugene in a tough atmosphere and covering that number. But I will ask you this: Would you rather take Oregon given 8 at Stanford, or take Florida given 8 in Lexington?
Florida given 8 in Lexington. I'd rather lay that.
Okay.
And that kind of goes against what I would have said at the start of the year. Kentucky's not as good as I thought they would be. Their offense is still really struggling at times. And Stanford has played better since making the quarterback change. I know they got a bunch of injuries, but that feels like a lot of points there. And just hearing the respect that and how Chip was impressed with Stanford, and he came away with a very positive impression of them. If you heard him after the game, so
yeah,
I would rather lay the 8 with Florida than I would with Oregon.
Okay, I do think they got the skill guys. You mentioned Jones, the running back, that's still dinged up, but they got a corner out. They got an offensive guard that's out this week. So it's a predicament where I'm interested to see Oregon, just knowing what they look like last week and knowing what the expectation levels is now. Like, now I start looking at them in the Pac-12, and I wonder if they could run the table. I really do. And like I said,
no one's done it since Chip in 2010.
Yep.
Right.
It's what gets in their way every single year. It is what it is. It's a wait and see. Anything more, like if you had to take a side in Ole Miss plus 14.5, 79.5 is the number. Would you take the points? Would you lay the points? Would you take the over or take the under?
I'd lay the 14.5. I'd lay the 14.5. I'm curious if it hits 14 or goes below. If it does, I think there'd be a pretty quick buyback on Bama. I think this is going to stay 14.5, and everyone's going to take Ole Miss plus 14.5, and I think they probably will be disappointed, but we'll see.
It's a fascinating situation, knowing that Lane has not stopped on Twitter, which he will never stop.
You know how it's this week too.
No doubt. All those tweets are, you know, wherever the bathrooms are in the facility, whether it's the weight room, the locker room, all that stuff is taped up on the stalls and all that. You know that. We touched on Oklahoma, Kansas State, Ohio State laying 15.5 at Sunge. Thoughts?
It seems like a common theme as we're kind of going along here, and I'm all these big spreads and big matchups. I can really see a lot of people taking the points in all these games. With not being super impressed with these favorites, just kind of taking the points up. Kind of weird in a sense that usually the public and people will tend to play these big name teams in the role of favorites, but it seems like this week I can see the public being more on some of these underdogs. So it could be, this is a dangerous week for someone like me, because I usually like to take some of the points in these games, but underdogs might be the wrong side of a lot of these games. I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm just thinking out loud.
I hear you. The line that smells the worst to me in all the slate is Troy +7 against South Carolina. I texted you and I, you know, you were on Louisiana Monroe under 1.5 conference wins. Yep. And I it's a score I didn't see. I don't think I saw it till Monday. And I'm like, Troy lost Louisiana Monroe. And now they're only getting 7 at South Carolina, who had a chance to beat undefeated Kentucky last week. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't know how you don't lay the 7 here with South Carolina.
See, I'm on the other side. I like Troy. I'm going to have Troy in the column.
All right.
For that reason alone. I mean, it's a South Carolina offense that is really struggled, and look, they were a 24 point. I it was one of those, like, you're right, I kind of like it forgot about the game and just kind of looked at the, one of the money line parlays I put in, and I saw like the red, and I'm like, huh, the only game I needed left was Troy, and I'm like, they lost to UL Monroe.
Yeah.
And by the way, great to hear that Rich Rod's son is okay. That was a injury that he was very, very fortunate, and happy to see that Rhett's home and feeling better. So that is awesome news to hear that he's going to be okay. But yeah, that was a shocking result last week, but I am going to plead ignorance here and bet the Trojans +7 against South Carolina in a bounce back situation. And getting back to the Oregon thing, do you think the Oregon performance last week could have been a little, okay, we know Arizona is the worst team in the conference.
No doubt about it.
We know we're going on the road. They just kind of sleptwalk through.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Because they come out and they jump up 10-0. It's like, all right, we're good. Will they run the ball against Stanford's defense? Mario wants to do that. Will they? And create all the other options? I still love Moorhead a heck of a lot calling plays. So it's really interesting. As we go down this, do you want any part of Florida State given 4.5?
No.
No. Because I have, you know, I got the question mark next to Syracuse +4.5 after they helped us out last week. And, you know, I mentioned it, you know, the combination of them playing good defense and being able to run the football, like, that stuff travels too to Tallahassee. Like, I think Syracuse might end up in the column.
I got a note here for you on the Syracuse game. Again, it's not a reason to bet a game or not. It's only one game. But I think it's just interesting for the people who are kind of like you, like, why is Florida State favored over Syracuse kind of deal? It is just the second time there's been a game between two current Power 5 teams where a team 0-4 or worse has been favored over a team with a winning record. The other time was 1988. 0-4 Tennessee was 3.5-point home favorite over 2-1 Washington State. Wazoo went to Neyland, won that game 52-24, and a year later, Dennis Erickson was off to Miami.
Wow. Look at that nugget.
I like looking up historical crap like that. So
I hear you.
But that was one of those games last week with Syracuse. Offensively, I still think they're going to have probably the quarterback position is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where if I had to play the game, I probably would lay it. But to be out at dinner with the boys from Wheels Up on Friday night, see that score rolling in, and then by the time I left dinner and got back to the room, the game was tied. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And then to fire up the All-ACC network on the laptop to watch the fourth quarter from the dome was we're good times. And I'm glad we got the just result.
I can't believe Hugh didn't kick the field goal.
Not only that, but what was he doing not calling the timeout? Give your team at least a chance to get the ball back.
Texas Tech backup quarterback threw for 300 against Texas when he came in last week. Columbine, they go to Morgantown. And I got to say, it's exactly what I thought Neil Brown would do at West Virginia is solidify this team and get them stable. You saw that defense play their asses off in Norman last week. That close, to getting a win on the road, which would have been something you could just, start putting on walls.
Should have won the game.
And they didn't. Now they're given 7. You mentioned Green. I'd love to see more of him for West Virginia. I just don't trust what West Virginia is going to do off of that game. How much is that a hangover of thinking about we were that close and now we got a team that's going to come over and sling it all over the place? Are we ready? You got to figure they were sort of ready for that kind of, spread system and going to Norman. But do you get up off the deck and show that you're that good? That's a tricky spot. I just don't want to give 7.
Yeah. It showed after the game, too. You saw
how much
that one stung. And I don't think that was a get back to practice Monday and forget about it type of deal.
No.
I think that one probably lingered for a while because they knew they let one get away.
No. But I will say this is Neil Brown special right here. If he is what I think he is, he gets his team ready and they take care of business here. It's just that number 7, and that speaks a lot. Nevada's catching 6.5 on the blue. I still don't think I know enough about either of those teams.
This is one of my plays.
Oh, go.
I love Nevada here.
Okay.
I think coming off of the being favorite of Kansas State, having time off to kind of get back into the swing of things. Nevada has been an awesome underdog. And I know Boise won at Utah State. That was a painful game to watch. Not sure this Boise offense is going to be able to put up a bunch of points on Nevada. And the last 7 times Nevada has been a dog. They have covered. They have won 6 of them outright. So this is a really good role for Wolfpack 2 words and Carson Strong. And I think this is more of a reputation line than anything else. It should probably be closer to 4 or so, I would think. But I do like Nevada. I'm going to put a little on the boys from Reno on the money line as well.
All right. Arkansas State's getting 2.
It's the same team that beat Cal, by the way. So it's not like they're – I don't think people need to overreact off of a loss to a good Kansas State team.
All right. I like it. Big spot there for the Wolfpack 2 words. If you read anything about Georgia Southern, it is pretty eye-opening with the coach getting fired and what happened on the bus going to the game this past week. And now they're favored against Arkansas State. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's staying away for me.
Yeah, total story.
Our Roadrunners are giving 21 to UNLV. You don't want no part of that. Don't want any part of that. Another team that helped us out last week for me, Air Force.
Do you have one of those 2-1-0 hats, by the way? You can say yes. You can be honest. You can say yes if you do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's a sweet lid.
Got our shirts in the mail and everything. We'll have
our yours. You got your shirts in the mail.
Well, they sent the big guy because the big guy gave out UTSA also. And a Coach Traylor appreciates the love that Scott's given the Roadrunners from a national perspective. So we got some swag sent.
I got nothing.
We'll get you some. Don't worry about it. Air Force looked great last week in that win against FAU, but now they're giving 10.5 on the road. I don't want any part of giving double digits. Mississippi State catching 7 in College Station. Thoughts?
A&M can't throw the ball. They cannot. They have zero passing offense right now. It's what a terrible spot for A&M. Awful spot. Coming off of a loss where you can't do anything on offense against Arkansas. Now you come back and your fans are pissed off, and you got Alabama next week, and you got to face a Mississippi State team that just lost to LSU. I mean, that was another weird game. Like the box score, like statistically, they dominated the game or had an advantage, but like didn't lost by a field goal. And very thankful for that 2-point conversion late as I ball from 2.5 up to a 3. That worked out well. Thank you very much. But and now you gotta face that for 60 minutes. That I don't know, man. That's a bad spot. And I can see myself by the time I put pen to paper in that column later this afternoon by being on the bullies plus the 7.
Okay. Probably the third highest profile game in the Big 12 is the game between the two undefeated teams, and that's Baylor plus 3.5 at Stillwater. It's a wait and see for me because I still need to see more from these teams. Yeah. Moving on, I do have a pick here, and this is Liberty at UAB. UAB minus 1.5, and the over-under is 50. Couple things here. UAB is opening their brand new stadium, Protective Stadium, about 45,000, beautiful downtown Birmingham. We're going to get to see the UAB marching Blazers before the game. We're going to raise the championship banner for the Conference USA title of UAB last year. And when I look at this game, Bear, it's just down to the quality of opponents. UAB, like when you do a head-to-head or a blind resume of these two teams, when you look at total offense and rush yards and yards given up, look at who UAB has played and look who Liberty has played. I'll take Bill Clark. I'll take UAB here in this spot and lay the 1.5 against Liberty.
I would tend to lean that way as well. Johnson, I think, has had some injury issues too. So
yeah, he's out. Dylan Hopkins is in. Yeah. Played great last week against Tulane. McBride, the running back, he's over for 300 for the year also. Yep.
Yeah, they like so. They think he could be the best player they've ever had in the program.
I like UAB on both sides of the line of scrimmage too. After watching Liberty against Syracuse, so I like UAB in this spot with the scenario. A lot of emotion in that building. It's a good spot for UAB, and I want to get behind it. With Liberty coming off that loss, I think it showed some holes. I think it's pretty obvious Liberty is not as good as they were last year, and they were a team that I had circled this year of saying, huh. And you look at the schedule and you saw the Syracuse game, maybe they win that. Could they be undefeated all the way when they go down to Oxford late in the year? That's enough because they lost plenty on their roster. But it should be a good game. There'll be a lot going on in that one. Indiana's catching 12 in Happy Valley.
That number, I think that number is going to – if you want to take Indiana in that game, I might wait. That number is going to hit 13.
All right.
So I think there's going to be a lot of revenge from last year, the way the game ended, Indiana sneaking by Western Kentucky last week. Like I can see this number going up. This might be a week you want to take the Hoosiers if that number hits 13 or 13.5. I'd wait it out a bit and see, but it looks like that's the direction we're headed.
I'll tell you right now, if this is a 10-point game late, you know Jimmy Franklin's going to punch one in late. I'll just say that. You know that's coming. You mentioned last year, and you know how he likes to put it on people if he can. Western Kentucky plus 10.5 against Sparty. If 11, Nebraska
11 in spots.
If Nebraska didn't cover last week, we were going to have a lot of problems. And I know everybody that had Michigan State is wondering why they kicked the field goal. You should have never been in that scenario.
Stop it. You were never the
first down,
right?
In the second half?
They never first down in the second half. You were never the right side in that game for a second ever.
Ever.
Shut up. Be quiet.
Take that, McElroy.
Oh, is he complaining? I know.
No, he gave out Michigan State. He loves Michigan State.
They're better. They're improved. But at the same time, offensively, they got issues.
I really want to see what they end up in the Big Ten. I'm dying to see it.
I think I'm gonna take Western Kentucky this week. By the way,
high ranked offense.
Last 14 home games, the home favorite for Michigan State, 1-13 against the number with 4 outright losses, and it should have been 5.
Interesting. Hilltoppers, be on the lookout.
That's actually a good spot for Western Kentucky this week too. I think coming off of a game against a Big Ten team, you were in it, and you could have won, and you get to come right back and face another team that caliber of competition to kind of prove to yourself we get another chance of doing it. This time it's on the road, so I think it's a good situation for Western Kentucky. I could see myself taking the toppers plus the 11.
BC plus 16 at Clemson.
Have you heard one of our favorite slogan mottos or sentences? Have you heard anybody mutter the term, "I like Clemson minus 16 this week"? Has anybody said that?
No. Okay. All right. Shout out to all the people that had Clemson to close 3-team teasers last week too. Sorry about that. The UConn Huskies plus 14.5 in Nashville. I am going to be tuning into that game. I need to see it just because of what's at stake as Vandy as a double-digit favorite in that game. Thank you, Nebraska, for covering, but I don't want to give 11 with you. We're getting to that stage where Northwestern is
12,
going to be
12 now too.
Oof. Auburn plus 3.5 at LSU. 54.5 is the total.
We learned a lot about Auburn last week.
That's what I was going to say. This feels like a real deep issue going on in that program. We saw the stuff with Bo Nix getting benched and where he was as his team's rallying to try and win a game. I think you saw a lot of what Auburn really has up front offensively. And I think about, I know they went to Happy Valley, but now you couple that with a loss in Happy Valley, a hangover win against Georgia State, which should have never happened because that third down catch was not a catch. I can't believe it was confirmed a catch.
Oh, I know. Awful.
And now you bring in Tiger Stadium at night on a Saturday. I've seen plenty of people get swallowed up in this atmosphere, which I don't trust LSU, but I do think about giving them in this situation because they got guys on that defensive line that can get after whoever's at quarterback for Auburn. And I just worry about the psyche of Auburn in this spot. Hearing about how they haven't won there since what, 98 or 99? This is it.
I think it's 99. I'm not 100% certain.
But you
gotta wonder too, though. Finley, if he plays going back there, if you throw Bo Nix in there, like what's gonna happen?
Didn't he play in the LSU spring game?
Yeah, I'm 99% certain he did.
See, I don't see how you start. Like, this is it for Bo Nix. Like, show me right here that you got, like, this is it. And then you bring Finley in. I don't see how you start Finley in this situation with all that previous stuff. Fine, bring him in if Nick struggles, and then you go from there. But I can't see it starting him. But, hey, that's why Harsin's getting paid the big bucks.
LSU got that win last week, kind of. It was a game where the season could have gone south if they lost at the rally. They played well enough to win. Good for Max Johnson. And you know what? They might be – this is probably going to sacrilege to say this, but they might be better off if Stingley just doesn't play. I mean,
valid point.
They were a terrible pass defense last year. Mm-hmm. He did not play well against UCLA. I hope he's okay. And yeah. if he's healthy and he can play, that's great. But I don't know. They seem like they did a better job last week with a lot of the younger guys out there. We'll see. I can see myself being on LSU here.
I really like Max Johnson. I think a lot of the kid, he's a tough kid, hangs in the pocket. And, yeah, they were fortunate. They made the most of their opportunities. But that's what you got to do on the road. You get turnovers, you got to score off them. You run a pass play and two defenders run into each other, you got to score on that play. And LSU did that. So, I had LSU circled from the get before the lines came out because I just wanted to see it, knowing – what I saw from Auburn last week, because I was watching that game, and it's just not pretty right now. Shout out to the Beavers at Corvallis going down to the Coliseum and getting a win, and for the first time since 1960. So happy for them, man.
I know a lot of people that had them on the money line last week. A ton of people I know texted me throughout the week saying they were taking Oregon State money line. So congrats to them.
They are more than formidable on offense. They got some guys there, and the quarterback's playing really well. But now is the spot where you have to win again, Oregon State. You have to win this game at home against Washington. If I have to pick this game in an office pool or something, I'm taking the Beavers. I do believe in them. Nolan, the quarterback's been really impressive. And Washington, I stayed up to watch the end of that Cal game, and Jesus, Cal. Oh, my Lord. What do you think of Arizona State going on the road?
I don't like them.
Me neither.
I think Chip feels pretty good about his team right now, and that was a really nice win to beat Stanford last week on the road. DTR, I'm guessing, is going to be okay.
Practice Monday.
Yeah, he practiced Monday, and I don't ask him about those things because I know he's not going to tell him. I don't want to put myself in a position to be in that spot. So we talk about the Pennsylvania Derby and college football in general. And I did not ask him some specifics about his team, but I think he feels pretty good about his team and Arizona State. I just something, and I think I brought it up with you earlier this year about how, when ASU wasn't ranked in the preseason, and I was like, wow, Arizona State. And the number of people that either sent me a DM or a text or an email, and like, dude, ASU, no leadership, terrible. They hate Daniels. And it was like, whoa. And they might have been right. I mean, you look at how they've been this year. I mean, UCLA's handled them the last couple of years. Daniels got three picks. He's right in the middle of the Pac-12 in terms of QBR. They weren't necessarily great in their wins against what Southern Utah, UNLV, and Colorado. Yeah, I don't know. By the way, that was a beautiful ending. Yeah, I just want to get it within a
field goal.
Three-score game.
Field goal.
35-10 field goal.
It's amazing. Fresno State on the island, given 10. I want to blame Fresno State for also costing me a couple hours of sleep for having to stay up to watch that UNLV game.
How predictable was that?
Total hangover spot. There was also a review in that game. I don't know how they called it a touchdown when it shouldn't be, but Hayner does it again. So I better not be up for that game on the island Saturday night. All right. I think it's time for the Big Mike Happy Recap.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
Big Mike Happy Recap is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
I will go Wisconsin -1, Notre Dame +2.5, Eastern Michigan +2.5, UAB -1.5, LSU minus 3.5. You, sir.
Give me Wisconsin minus the 1, Nevada plus 6.5, Mississippi State plus 7, Western Kentucky plus 11. I know Michigan State's going to burn me this week. I know this will be the week that they win by 14. It'll be another, we'll get another tuba factor. They're like Notre Dame Willingham era tuba ball bounces off the tuba into a receiver's hands, score a touchdown. That's whatever they need, they get. But this will be the week they burn me. That's the funny thing. Michigan State fans are like on me, like, for what? I picked you against Miami and you won, and I picked Nebraska last week and they covered and should have won. But give me Troy plus the 7, South Carolina. Give me LSU minus 3.5 against Auburn. And after hearing the way Cal lost that game last week, I might go Cal minus 7.5 against a bad Wisconsin team.
Okay. Very good. I'm still angry that Clemson is ranked with 2 losses. More on that next week. Bear, take us away.
You don't think they're one of the 25 best teams in the country?
Give me one thing that shows me they one anecdote, one stat, one anything. There's no way they should be ranked. We've played 4 games. They lost 2. You're not in the top 25.
No, they shouldn't. And I wanted to wind you up on this, but I didn't. You kind of had the throwaway line in there. The same time, they're 2-3 in their last 5 games. Going back to and you got a win over FCS South Carolina State and a 6-point win over Georgia Tech as a 27.5 point favorite. They're 5-12 against the number, beginning with the 2019 national championship game.
Keep ranking them. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, the more you lose when you win.